I came to Nichols as a management major, fully with the intentions of taking over a family business. And 9/11 happened. My uncle is a firefighter, FDNY, stationed in Manhattan. He was supposed to work on 9/11, called in sick, didn't wake up till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, realized what had happened. All of his friends, his current engine company, as well as the guy who was working for him because he called in sick, all died on 9/11. After golfing with him, when I was here at Nichols, I was golfing with him and he's telling me all the stories about why he loved the job of a firefighter. I said, Uncle Freddie, if you could do it again, would you? And he said, in a New York minute. Well, I golfed with him on a Saturday. I came back to campus on Sunday. Monday morning, I applied to the Dudley Fire Department. Even though I was a management major for business, I said, this is something I'm going to do. And this is something I have to do. The chief hired me that night and said, well, we have an academy opening starting next week. Everything happened within a week's time. Totally changed my whole life direction. But, you know, I stuck with my business degree. And I told my father, who was a big corporate CEO, I'm not looking to go into business. And he laughed. He said, all right, no problem. He pursued what I wanted to. And now he laughs at me. He's like, hey, how's that work out for you? Not going into business. Yeah. You're running two different companies and...
The bison, the bison.
Hello, Bison! 2007 Bison alumni Mike Matros went on to found the Heroes Cup Foundation, which puts on a charity hockey tournament in partnership with the Boston Bruins. The tournament has grown since its start in 2016 to include over 1,800 players, forming 80 teams from 27 states and 3 countries. It attracts firefighters, paramedics, police officers, SWAT teams, Navy SEALs, and even several former Boston Bruins players who play each year to raise over $1 million for charity. We'll talk about Mike's time at Nichols, how he started this nationally known tournament, his plans for expansion to include other NHL franchises in the future, and his founding of Redline Gear Cleaning, which is a company that is working on ensuring firefighter safety from harmful substances encountered on the job. Welcome to the Nichols College Alumni Experience Podcast, Mike.
Thank you for having me here.
So why don't we start off, what are you doing back on the hill today?
Well, I have, from the what the firemen would say, sounded the alarm and recruiting the college for some help for both the foundation as well as my business. The college has stepped up and is really putting a lot of volunteers in, a lot of getting really involved in the program itself. And it's been great. It's been a very busy day meeting the whole staff of the college, having 4 or 5 meetings in a day. It's been great, but really engaging the college this year, looking to bring back to the college.
We appreciate you coming in. So in regard to the tournament and the foundation, tell us a little bit about what this tournament is and how it got started.
The Heroes Cup got started because I was running the Boston Marathon, and it was a way for me to have my fundraising. My fire department, Sudbury Fire, played Framingham Fire in a single one-off game. At that time, I had veterans reaching out to me, asking me for a warm-up game. I had met a lot of really cool people who were in the same mission to try and help and support me for a single game. Well, that turned into, let's have a tournament. Let's have get together with these guys from around the country who I'd only see at funerals. Let's get together for a reason other than a funeral to kind of support their causes and get behind them. So first year we had 54 teams, and then we had 80 teams, 90. And this year's numbers are even bigger than what was reported. We have now have 110 teams and over 2,000 first responders that come to the city, with about 10,000 on people playing throughout the weekend. The whole event will raise about over $1 million in 3 days for 70, 80 different charities.
That's fantastic. Did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine this thing taking off as much as it did? And where do you see this thing going in the future?
So, no. I didn't envision it taking off like this. I certainly don't say no to anybody. So the overwhelming amount of support has grown this foundation to where it's at now. In the future, we've already signed contracts with the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're looking to go, so we'll be in Tampa in August with the Lightning. We are looking to have a tournament in Nashville with the Predators. We were in talks with Winnipeg about a tournament there in 2022. All the NHL teams are really kind of getting on board. It's finding the ones that have the right resources, the right place to host a tournament. I see this being very much a national event that goes around the NHL circuit and raises money for fire, police, military.
That's unbelievable. I have to think that as a business major, some of the things you learned here at Nichols had to help you with some of the organization and the business aspects of putting on such a big and growing tournament. Can you take us back to your college days a little bit and tell us about your experience here at Nichols and how the things you learned here might have helped you build and grow this tournament over the years?
Yeah, so I came to Nichols as a management major, fully with the intentions of taking over a family business. 9/11 happened. After my uncle, his friends all died on 9/11, he called in sick on 9/11.
He was a firefighter?
He was a firefighter, FDNY, stationed in Manhattan. He was supposed to work on 9/11, called in sick, didn't wake up till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, realized what had happened. All of his friends, his current engine company, as well as the guy who was working for him because he called in sick, all died on 9/11. FDNY retired him shortly after that because the survival guilt he had was just a little bit too much. After golfing with him, when I was here at Nichols, I was golfing with him and he's telling me all the stories about why he loved the job of a firefighter. I said, Uncle Freddie, if you could do it again, would you? And he said, in a New York minute. Well, I golfed with him on a Saturday. I came back to campus on Sunday. Monday morning, I applied to the Dudley Fire Department. Even though I was a management major for business, I said, this is something I'm going to do. And this is something I have to do. The chief hired me that night and said, well, we have an academy opening starting next week. So everything happened within a week time. Totally changed my whole life direction. But, you know, I stuck with my business degree. And I told my father, who was a big corporate CEO, I'm not looking to go into business. And he laughed. Yeah, all right, no problem. He pursued what I wanted to. And now he laughs at me. He's like, hey, how did that work out for you? Not going into business here. Yeah. running two different companies. And
wow.
I had a business when I was here in the dorm, ripping out my dorm room.
What were you doing? I heard a story, a little bird, one of your former professors told me about that a little bit. But what kind of business was it?
So I was running a business finishing garages, doing high-end garages. People would want to match their garages to their Corvette or their Porsche and have really nice high-end garages. So I was running that business and my roommates all worked for me. They took classes in the morning. We'd go work in the afternoon. They'd come back to campus. Every one of them had money in their pocket. They were happy as can be. And for a college student, it was great. And as soon as I graduated, that was my job when I was in school. And the professor and the teacher staff always helped me throughout the way with that business. And once I graduated, ran the business for about 2 years and bought my first house for cash.
I remember talking to you. Actually, I met you at your high school, I think it was, when you were a high school student. I was an admissions counselor.
Yep.
And I do remember after Professor Hilliard kind of chatted with me a little bit that you had to have some kind of permission to park your trailer with your equipment here on campus.
So I was in Budley, I think. I had to get permission from campus to park my equipment in the back parking lot. So I got permission to do that. I ran the business out of the back parking lot and I had a trailer and everything set up and a couple work trucks back there. And my roommates got out of class. They'd hop in the work trucks. They'd hook up the trailer. They'd take all our equipment back. And the dorm room was a pretty good storage facility.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Professor Hilliard. Were there any other professors you particularly remember that you'd like to give a shout out to?
He would be the biggest one for sure. I still use his mentality, and if he's listening, I did buy my first Corvette per his advice. He gave me a lot of good answers and really helped me guide me along the way. But in general, I didn't realize how good education I had. Having a teacher to just completely derail, talk about their professional experience and their work life meant more to me than anything that I learned in textbooks. So I couldn't tell you one, you know, textbook I read while I was in college because there were so many of them. You forget the class names, but I could tell you almost every life story that those professors told me. And those are the ones that 100% guided me to doing more, doing better.
A lot of our students mentioned that one of their biggest challenges is time management. And I'm not sure the exact number these days, but at one point I remember hearing at least half of our student body played a varsity sport or an NCAA club sport. Based on a lot of the interaction I've had with students, a lot of students own their own business. They're leaders at clubs here on campus, involved in clubs here on campus. They're no stranger to presentations group work. We have a group of students right down in Miami now who are working the Super Bowl for the
week. Cool.
Yeah, that's not bad. So you're a full-time firefighter. You organize a tournament, which is probably a job or three in itself. You've completed the Boston Marathon, what is it, three times?
Five
times. Coach youth hockey, baseball coach. So I'm guessing you're pretty good at managing your time. Maybe you could share a few of your tips on prioritizing, multitasking, and how you're able to juggle so many things and keep a good work-life balance.
Like anybody, that's a challenge. But when I came to Nichols, had and still have a learning disability, and the ability to learn how to manage ADD from that perspective and handle multiple things, I learned how to use instead of it as a weakness, as a strength. So for me to multitask, I feel it comfortable. For me, I work the best when there's two, three jobs, there's a million phone calls, there's a million emails to do, because downtime is not an option. When it comes to prioritizing, you need to just put your priorities in focus. And I keep myself so busy that time management, if you don't have time management, you fall on your face. You know, that's something I definitely learned from here. And it's something that I would say is probably my best asset. In other words, to make it short, I have to be busy. Otherwise, everything will crumble.
So what's the toughest part or aspect about organizing and putting on this tournament for you?
First responders like to do everything last minute. That's always a challenge.
When the bell goes off. Yeah.
Well, someone asked about that. And I said, these guys, their career, when they come to work, they don't know what they're doing in 30 seconds. They don't know what the job is going to be in 30 seconds from now. So to get them to do anything in advance, booking hotel rooms, registering teams is a project. I'm dealing now, I have people from all across the globe. We have people that teams that don't speak any English. We communicate. I have, there's some Canadian teams that are very heavy accents, very hard to talk with. And it's creating a nice dialogue that, little challenges, but they're certainly good challenges. Sponsor engagements. There's a lot of challenges that come with running a nonprofit. Everything has its own challenge in different regards.
Let's talk about partnerships a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's really important to a lot of organizations, and one of the things that we try and teach our students, for all that said about the millennials and the generation today, I think one of the biggest skills that they have is through social media or whatever. They're very good at reaching out and connecting and being aware of partnerships, whether it's for brands or celebrities or whoever. How do you go about starting a tournament where two teams are playing, bringing it up to what it is now? Can you describe a little bit about the partner building process that mm-hmm. you use?
Well, obviously my biggest partner being the Boston Bruins. The Bruins, after our first year, saw the event and said, we want to help. So they kind of bridged that gap for me, where they approached me and said, we want to get involved. Honestly, at first my guard was up, because what do the Bruins want with us? Well, is this something to sell tickets? What's the catch here? Got through that, settled the contract with the Bruins, and now allowing the Bruins to do what they do best allows me to do what I do best. And the ability to reach out to sponsors, to get involved, to send a message out. I mean, they have 30,000 people every single day in the garden, and they could really hit a number of people fast. And their marketing campaigns, allowing the partners to really run with it, helped grow this tournament to where it's at. The current players saw that partnership, they get involved. When you're getting messages from Bergeron or Tuca, what can we do? How can you help? Yeah, I'll take you up on that offer. And then, partnerships as far as sponsors go. Sponsors really help drive the tournament, and they play a critical role. And sometimes it could be they simply just want to say thank you. Other times they're maybe selling a product or a service. And you know what? If they're stepping up to support someone, you're going to want to support them. So the partnerships go both ways. 1,000% building partnerships and relationships is a key. And you talked about the social media part, which is kind of funny, but this whole tournament was built off $10 in social media, Facebook advertising, and the network of people. And so as the tournament grew, I started continuing down that road with social media, aggressive social media, and we had some interns who reminded me just how old I am, because I'm on Facebook.
Facebook and then Instagram, now that's old, and Snapchat's the new thing, and who knows where
and
it's going.
I just got showed the other day for the first time TikTok. I learned about something totally new, but it's always evolving, always changing, and it's good to have those kind of partners to keep you on your edge, keep you growing continuously.
How do you kind of keep up with things? Do you have, interns of a college age? Or
there's a skill set that I can't even begin to comprehend that they bring. Having interns every year really helps bring a whole nother level of organization and bring stuff that I don't even think about, and gets me to think, kind of give them the ability to run with it. All right, go ahead. I trust you. I have no idea what this is, but I trust you. That proves beneficial year after year. And every year I look to have a couple interns help with the foundation. This year I'm going to be engaging the college, a whole army of students, because I want to see what that younger generation can do that I'm missing. I'm going to engage the whole student class at a Bruins game, bring 50 students to a Bruins game. All right, let's make the most of First Responder Night. How can we make an aggressive marketing campaign? How can we make a program that's really going to be beneficial to first responders? That's what they're in school for. Let's put them to work.
Are those going to be sport management students, marketing students, just open to anybody? Do you know yet? Or is it still pretty early?
It's still pretty early. I'm not sure. It will be a specific class that they'll be doing, but we'll be opening our internship. We had just opened up a couple of new internships for all majors, from hospitality to sports management. At the rate we're growing, we don't turn down help because we can use it.
What is it like to work with members of the Boston sports community? I'm sure over the years you've hung out with and maybe skated against some of the athletes that you grew up watching. Can you recall any particularly cool stories about some of the experiences you've had over the years hanging with some of the pretty well-known athletes in the area?
They're known for their ability on the ice. They're known for their sports skills. I think one of the coolest things, especially getting to know the current team and stuff, is Brad Marchand. Learned about my kid. My kid likes to play hockey, and he's got such a tough shell when it comes on the ice, from fighting people to being, being typical Brad. And he just thought it was cool what we were doing, learned the whole story, wants to help. But meanwhile, he took out my 9-year-old son out for public skating. These guys are as real as they get. You see him on TV, you see him in a different light, but seeing him outside, or seeing Ray Bourque come and say, I love what you're doing, I want to help. How can I get involved? What can I do? And really having him say, how can I help you is humbling, because usually you're coming to him for help. Hey, Ray, can you put out a tweet? Can you do this? Can you do that? The thing that is most powerful to me with working with all the sports figures is just they're real people. They want to help. They want to get involved. And it really is very humbling, but rewarding working with them, because there's a totally different light than what you see on TV, what you see on the ice, what you see on the field. During the Heroes Cup, we make it a fundraising incentive. Our top teams that raise the most money have professional players playing on their team as an incentive. So we incentivize them to raise more money for their own charity. So every team is playing for their own charity. So it's just like the Boston Marathon, where it's one event that benefits so many charities. For us to motivate a team to raise $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, there has to be something at stake. Well, what's at stake is BJ Stock said, I'm going to join that team and play with the team all weekend long. Having an enforcer like BJ in the corner certainly helps. Testament to these guys, they really want to get involved and they want to help. So we use it as a fundraising motivation. Meanwhile, it's their way of saying, let's go play some hockey for the weekend. So we will have various celebrities playing throughout. We also have a Bruins alumni game that'll be playing. The Bruins alumni will play our top 20 individual fundraisers against each other, which will be kind of neat. Just an excuse, a way for them to get together and get involved and be helpful.
That's great. As somebody who's taken a passion and turned it into something which has had such a positive influence in your community and benefits so many people, what would your advice be for students or recent alumni who are getting ready to graduate or taking their first job and they're looking to go out and make their mark in the world? What advice would you give to them if you were sitting across from them having coffee?
Don't say no. That movie, Yes Man, it's a powerful world. You never know what kind of opportunity is going to present you. One of the guys at the firehouse said to me, he said, because I was trying to lose a little weight, he's like, hey, why don't you run the marathon? What am I going to run a marathon? I've never ran before in my life. Boston firefighter died. And he's like, we need someone to run the marathon and we have a charity spot to fill. Here's an opportunity. Yes. By running one marathon, saying, all right, I'm committed. I'm going to do this. Taking that fire job and steering away from a, you know, family business that was ultimately was I thought was my career path. All of a sudden, in one day, I said, nope, this is something I'm doing different. I've said yes, and yes is a powerful word. No is very easy to say. You know, take those opportunities that are in front of you. That's the best that I can tell anybody. You don't know where it's going to get you, but I promise you it's there for a reason.
How long does it take to train for a marathon, especially as somebody who's a non-runner? How long did it take before you could actually get there and get on the starting line?
Probably about 6 months of real training. You know, training season for Boston particularly starts in November. It's a very cold training season. A lot of runs are through the snow and through the ice. So it's putting your head down and doing it. Honestly, Boston's the ultimate marathon, but it's great because there's for 26 miles, you have people shoulder to shoulder cheering you on. What's better than that? And you're going to get through it. So if you can run a little bit, you'll get through it. People see people crossing the finish line and don't have legs, amputees. I mean, the stories that come out of an event like that are unbelievable. So if they could run with as an amputee, you better believe I'll run.
So before I let you go, how can folks get involved with the Heroes Cup tournament? I know you're doing a lot to involve Nichols College students and interns, but whether it's getting a team together to play in the event or volunteering to help out, sponsoring the event, or simply attending the event, what's the best way for people to go about supporting this cause?
All right, so a couple notes on that. In terms of getting involved playing in the tournament is exclusive to fire, police, or military, and we have a long waiting list of teams, so we couldn't really take teams in, but the best way to get involved is simply volunteering, so coming out supporting. Come and attend to one of our events. Come see on Friday night, come see Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band play. Like, that's going to be a really cool experience. We post all over our social media on almost every handle. You can find us, all our updates. Volunteers, we have a volunteer sign up on our website, heroescuphockey.com. Also, heroescupfoundation.com has all the current events, whether it be a skills camp with Billy Jaffe or golf tournament, whatever the event being, everything is there. Certainly reach out to the college. I know the college will have a really good volunteer activations, and that'll be all over the college social media as well. So if you want to get involved, there's a million ways to get involved.
And so it's not just the tournament. I mean, this is a year-round thing.
Year-round, nationwide.
Great stuff. Mike, thank you for joining us today. From the guidance office of Marlboro High School to being the Grand Marshal of the Marlboro Parade, it's unbelievable to see what you've accomplished, and thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
This would be a good time to remind you, if you or someone you know would like to get more involved at Nichols and help us continue to move the chains as we innovate and grow, I'm not a hard guy to get a hold of. Hit me up at Nichols or through LinkedIn, and we can get you involved here on the Hill. Until next time, go Bison. I see we do it for the whole team, we rep it for the whole team, we cheer it for the whole team, we do it for the whole team, put it for the whole team, we cheer it for the whole team, we rep it for the whole team, we put it for the whole team, we rep it for who? The Bison, 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 the Bison. Welcome to the den, welcome to the pen, the herd taking.